Okay, let's bring in
Stephen
Fiery at this point. Stephen, I'm not sure if I got any straight answers out of Steve Aiken. What would you do if it was in your control in terms of trying to balance things up at Stormont?
Well, first of all, Vinny, we have to recognise that this is a self-inflicted wound for Northern Ireland. I mean, I heard Mark Sheen talking about this is all the fault of the Tories and DUP, and that we are for sure having cuts in the size of our block grant. But over the past 10 years and longer, we've had plenty of opportunities to reform our public services, to invest in our economy, and to put ourselves in a much stronger position. And those chances have been passed up. So we're now reaping what we've sowed. The document before us actually is a real litany of potential cuts that are going to have massive impact upon all aspects of life in Northern Ireland, and hold our economy back at a time when we should be investing. If we look across to GB, I mean, they're investing in a new industrial strategy. They're focusing around productivity change. By contrast, we have a stagnating economy. So we're missing out on a whole lot of things. So it's not just the case of the cuts that are coming. It's the fact we should be doing things differently and better.
Okay, so what do we do differently and what do we do better? And when I'm asking that, I'm kind of relating it to this report.
Let me run through a few examples then. I mean, with Steve Aiken there, made reference to teacher training. I mean, I proposed some reforms that would have saved money in teacher training under the last executive. They were vetoed by all
and
including the UUP.
They were to close some colleges.
It wasn't to close anything. It was to take away what was called a premium payment of £2 million that goes to Stramulis and St Mary's. So that would have saved £2 million. That's a drop in the ocean, but it's a start. If we continue on in terms of education, this document proposes that we continue to protect education for the next two financial years. What we're doing is protecting massive inefficiency. We've over 70,000 empty school desks in our schools. That's a situation that's crying out for reform. But what this current proposal does is actually lock us in to the current provision and ensures that the money keeps being spent, but we're still being squeezed on the margins. That's simply not sustainable.
What do you think, Stephen, in terms of one of the suggestions within this, one of the options, and that's home-to-school transport? So currently 90,000 pupils get it for free, and the suggestion is then that would be means-tested, and that would lead to a 10 to 15% reduction in spending, which would be a tough decision because these are pupils. I know it therefore falls back on their parents, but for many years, families, this is something that you have to follow through. Tough decision for a politician to have to make. Would it be something you would decide on?
Look, we wouldn't rule anything out. It's important that we have an open mind in terms of how
to
approach these. But in terms of education, really, what's been proposed here is just trimming away on the margins of education. So in the past, we've seen talk about in terms of uniform subsidies being removed. Now we're talking about home to school transport being squeezed on the margins. We're talking about losing access to entitlement framework, pressure and special needs. All those are things where people are trying to trim on the edges rather than actually getting to grips with the fundamental problem that we have too many schools, we have too many empty places, there's far, far too much duplication in terms of how we manage a divided society. And unless we come to grips with those massive costs in the system, then we're not going to address the problem.
So if you do accept some of the cuts, then are you to an extent accepting the Tories and their austerity?
No, I mean, whenever we were in Westminster, we argued for a different approach in terms of austerity. I mean, the level of cuts that were adopted by governments over the past number of years didn't need to take place at that particular rate. They were far, far too fast, and they dug us into a deeper hole, and we're only now coming out of that. So, but we're still seeing the effects, however, of that austerity. So we could have gone a lot slower in terms of austerity, but my central point is that in Northern Ireland, we've done things badly. We could have done things so much better.
So how do we do them in the future? How do we change things now? If you were the minister, I said this to Stephen, and I think I said it to Mark Sheen as well. If you had that role on your department, the Department of Finance, the civil servants, the people that work in this, they give you that list and they said, here are your three options, minister. Stay as they are, ring fence health and education, cuts elsewhere. Number two, raise revenue and still have cuts. Or number three, savage cuts across the board. Which one would you go for?
Well, I would say, Vinny, we would be closer to number two, but we wouldn't accept the number two as currently articulated.
Do you think sometimes people, or Northern Ireland, we kind of want it both ways, in that our politicians, they don't want to implement things like water charges, bedroom taxes, but they... you know, they want to spend the money, so they don't want to implement something that will not go down well with voters, and those tough decisions. Therefore, we can't really have things both ways. Do you agree with that?
Well, no, I think that most voters, whenever they look at the very stark choices out there, would want to see a balanced approach being adopted, which does involve having to take some difficult decisions in terms of how we spend our money, but also considering some approaches in terms of revenue raising. But where I think voters would really draw the line is saying, don't come to us looking for more revenue until you sort out the massive inefficiencies in terms of your spending. So don't be asking us to put our hands into our pockets and to give more money while Stormont continues to waste money in a massive way inefficiently. I mean, last week, for example, Colleges NI, in terms of the further education sector, were pointing out that they're actually duplicating to the tune of close to £50 million work that they're doing to pick up for the fact that there are failures in terms of post-16 in the education system.
Okay.
So that's another example where there's massive inefficiency in the system that if we get the grips of it over the next couple of years, we'll be in a much stronger position.
You said that you probably would be nearer to option two, raise revenue and still have some cuts, although you wouldn't necessarily do it how it is suggested in this document. So things like dental charges, health trust car parking charges, extending car parking zones, the free public transport to over 60s, any of those that you think, well, do you know what, it's a shame because they are a very good service and it's great that people can avail of them at the minute, but we're just going to have to get rid of them.
There's two things that were in our manifesto, Vinny, and we're a bit open with people in this regard. We would potentially consider a very small increase in the regional rate. And secondly, we have been on record saying that we would introduce prescription charges, and in particular, we'd like to see that type of intervention ring-fenced for investment in a whole range of drugs that we don't currently get in Northern Ireland, but which are available in Great Britain. But a lot of what those other proposals are simply drops in the oceans. They're raising a couple of hundred thousand here, a couple of hundred thousand there. None of those are really going to make much impact. And frankly, we're going to end up getting ourselves in knots discussing some very small revenue-raising measures when at the focus really needs to be on tackling the massive inefficiencies that we have in a whole range of our current public spending.
Okay. Stephen Fiery, thank you very much.